Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with a deep appreciation for plaid. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
Shane tries to keep things under control, Adam tries to read some news, and Jared tries not to break any appliances before the show concludes.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. We are back, finally, episode 83 of The Scope. This is our first regular episode since sometime in October of '09, I believe.
We did it.
Shane, you don't want to know how many cues I almost missed during that intro there.
It's very,
I'm getting
very
up, I'm adjusting headphone volume, I almost missed the music cue, and I almost missed the raising the microphone cue. It's like I'm all over the map.
It's almost like we're starting over again.
Oh, crap. Look at that.
It's all over the place. You know, we've been doing this show so long that...
The sound effects machine just came.
We've been doing the show so long that the intro by Tony Partington talking about how we have a deep appreciation for plaid, and plaid is actually back in now. Flannel plaid.
I mean, is that like, why the U.S. Olympic team, the X team guys are all wearing plaid?
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yesterday I turned it on for a minute, and Sean White, you know...
I blame Sundance.
There you go.
Sundance? It's happening this weekend, by the way. I would share that. So yeah, it's episode 83. We are back. It's been a long hiatus. Do we want to go through the list of the additional reasons why we've been on hiatus?
Well, we can talk about the big one because this one falls squarely on me.
Okay, go ahead, Jared, please.
Well, my furnace decided to break. It was very cold in here for a while.
Am I looking at the new furnace?
You're looking
right
at
now?
The new furnace.
Wow, look at that machine.
It's much smaller. It's more efficient. I unfortunately didn't have the budget to get the high efficiency, but it's definitely going to be more efficient than the probably... I'm looking at Adam, and I'm very jealous of his beard. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the Beard Brothers right here. What's going on?
So we had... this is the story of what happened, okay? So I get a call from Angie one morning. I'm at work, and she says, "This terrible, terrible smell is in the house. You know, what's going on?" I'm like, I don't know.
Insert joke here.
Don't look at my
secret stash. But, you know.
Stay out of Jared's laundry basket.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, I didn't think that anything weird was going on, but I get home and there's just this like acrid, like burning plastic smell in the house, right?
Yeah.
So I turn everything off. It's like, okay, we can't run this furnace because it's not good.
It's stinky.
It's very, very stinky. So I call, I get a furnace guy out to look at it. He does a quick look at it and gets his little camera, sticks it in there and looks at something called the heat exchanger. You know, that's where the heat gets exchanged, Shane.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
And
happily named.
Takes a look and he finds that there is a crack in the heat exchanger.
Uh-oh.
Which is basically, he's done looking at it. He says, you got to replace it.
Set it and forget it.
Because for anyone who isn't aware, they keep the burning gas away from the actual airflow in the heat exchanger. You know, transfers the heat without them actually mixing. Well, if you've got a crack in it, you've got the potential of carbon monoxide and other flue gases leaking into your airstream, and then you just don't wake up in the
morning. You die.
Yes. So we stopped running it, and then basically it needed to get replaced, and now we have the replacement, which is smaller, more compact, and is, even though it's not the high efficiency, it's more efficient. And so hopefully that'll decrease the gas bills.
It's like the transition from R1 models to the R2
exactly.
models, you could say, with exactly. jetpacks.
In geek right. speak, if you want to. It's interesting because, you know, we back in my house last week, we went through kind of the same thing, except less expensive. But
it's all about Shane.
We were having, well, I'm tying this in together with Jared because one of the things Jared was talking about when he got his new furnace is how expensive it was. And it's always much more expensive than you ever planned for. The next day after Jared was having his problems, I woke up and took a shower, and then for some reason the hot water wasn't working properly. So I went down to the basement to check the hot water heater, and I saw that there was water dripping through our floor. Mm-hmm. So immediately I had to call the plumber, and I had no idea what was going on. But he gets there, and he said, oh, it could be one of two things. Well, we may have to, after he sort of troubleshot and realized it, probably just water spilling over from the side of the bathtub. But the reason why it was doing it was because there was a leak in the bathtub faucet. So he goes, we either can replace it or repair it. And I'm thinking, oh, we'll repair it, probably a couple $100. And the repair was $450. To replace it, which is going into the back, which there's an access panel. Thank you. To actually take out some of the pipe, put in the new faucet, was over $1,000. I couldn't believe. Wow. Is plumbing that expensive, Adam? I mean, you're an expert on these type of things.
I'm an expert on plumber crack. Not on
it's all plumbing. It's the labor. I mean, the parts don't cost that much.
It doesn't.
It's all labor.
I guess if you knew how to do it, you could probably do it pretty cheaply. But that's amazing that some sort of work like that would cost that much. At least if you're getting a furnace, you're actually getting a whole new furnace. I mean, it's running, keeping your house warm.
There's still. I mean, there was 5 hours of labor there,
sure.
too. So
I don't understand.
It's not cheap.
Well, why didn't you just get some Mighty Putty and be done with it?
You would think that Mighty Putty would do it.
Yeah.
But
No?
No. All not right. In this case, not quite as effective as
sounds
actually
like,
repairing it.
Sounds like another conspiracy by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what it boils down to. So anyway, we've got heat in your house now, Jared.
We've got heat.
How does it work? Better than the previous one, or about the same?
I don't know. It seems to work about the same. It's got some fancy pants protection on it now, so it won't overheat.
No, he
hopefully.
Means how does it work? Like how does the magic box
actually tell us through?
No,
the little gnomes in there are burning logs.
Well, it's got protection circuitry and sitting and stuff in it now, so it won't get too hot and hopefully won't crack the heat exchanger. And there's a warranty and all that stuff anyway.
How old was the original furnace?
I don't know if there was a year on it. I'm guessing just by how it looked, and there was kind of like a fake wood paneling
it was in Roman
sticker
numerals.
Thing on it. I would probably
he
guess
read the Roman numerals.
Probably guess late 70s, early 80s.
Late 70s. That's an old furnace. So you were due, is what you're saying.
I was due. But what I was going to say about this whole heat protection thing is that it turns out that that's a good thing to have because I have very small ductwork in this house. I have the essentially, yeah. There we go. essentially, the bare minimum that is required for the BTUs that this furnace puts out.
Oh.
So, puts out. That's what she said.
We know with Michael Scott show, everyone.
Anyway. So what I have to do is basically make sure that all of the vents are open all the time.
Nice.
When the furnace is running and make sure all of the return vents are open. And that seems to get it down to an acceptable temperature and it runs constantly. But that's the issue. When I said it was starting and stopping, that's what it was. It was going for 10 minutes, getting too hot, shutting down. Turning on again, going for 10 minutes, getting too hot.
Thank God that could be fixed without having to go in and actually replace vent work.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been a bad
well
news.
I mean the salesman had to make the measures and everything measurements and everything, so he knew that it was this was the bare minimum, but it was still up to code. So
there we go.
Yeah,
heat in, so the party in Jared's house can continue.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, Adam. Adam, what else is going on? Everyone knows through the New Year's Eve show that my life has changed a lot with my job, and it continues to be absolutely insanely busy. You and I were talking about some of some of your former coworkers and some of my current coworkers and how rough it's been, and my philosophy is really not to talk too much about this stuff, just in case you got to keep your rear covered. But let's just say it's been very busy, extreme transition, and I'm hoping anyway that we can continue to do the show on a regular basis like we did before. I think we're to play it by ear a little bit, but
well, you don't live in Haiti.
I don't. Yeah, I mean,
there is that. You have that going for you, Shane.
You're always
going
to throw Haiti in my face. It always boils down to Haiti.
It's the new Godwin's law. So
fair enough. So what about you, work treating you fairly?
Yeah, I got a new job-ish, kind of.
Was this the one that you talked about before, where it was less travel kind of thing?
It's a different kind of travel. It's kind of more, where I was a trainer before and was just training everyone, this is kind of more higher level, working just with the top big honchos at school districts and kind of working with them on things that are kind of customizable in our product and working kind of like that. And so
like flames, ground effects kits, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Got it.
As many smoke kits, as
neon,
very
smoke,
dry ice,
so
hydraulics.
So it's fun. And, typically it costs extra to buy this service.
Ooh.
So it's typically only, either larger or better off school districts. So right now that means like all of our new California districts exclusively, it seems. So I have like four California school districts that I'll be going to, maybe for a couple days here and there. But it's nothing like it was. It's mostly over the phone and email and then going out there maybe for a couple days each district.
It sounds like to me that you're continuing your ultimate goal to completely fool this company into the fact that you're a great employee and worthwhile.
Yes.
You're just moving up the ladder. I don't know how you're doing it.
I would agree. So that's good. And I don't know. I go to Milwaukee for a day tomorrow.
Oh, sounds like a great time.
She's taking a Brewers game.
is that a
Milwaukee
that
Bucks,
a,
perhaps?
A team? Yeah, and well, I don't want to go to a Bucks game because Mandy and I are going to our third Timberwolves game of the season on
how
Friday
much are the Timberwolves paying you to go?
That's funny. So the tickets themselves, I was shocked. So Mandy's uncle or someone bought a Lexus sometime last year.
Ooh.
And one of the deals, because like this particular dealership is like a sponsor of the T-Wolves, they give away season tickets if you buy a car.
I figured they would give you away a portion of the actual club. He owns 2% of the
Timberwolves. You actually get to choose a player. you could be out on the court if you want.
Right. So, you know, I was like, that's great. You know, like we get to, I don't really like basketball that much, but whatever. So we get
something
there, and they're pretty good seats. It's kind of in a corner, but it's behind the Timberwolves bench. It's not the very first section where you're kind of sitting just on foldaway chairs, you know, like just behind them.
So you're down on the main level.
It's kinda. It's right, past that.
That's
and like
pretty
five,
cool.
Five up, yeah.
Even if you're watching a terrible team, to be that close to athletics, that's pretty unusual.
And oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I just redeemed my free tickets I won at Gary's G-Levelthon movie marathon. And I got lower level tickets, and I'm going to see the Dallas Mavericks in March.
Oh, that's
so I'm curious where those tickets are going to end.
I hope you get good seats.
I tried for the Lakers, but that was sold. The lower level was sold out already.
Of course. Yeah.
So we get these and we go to the first game. So we've gotten two so far, and we're going to get one more, I think, and that'll be it. So we go, and like I said, they're okay seats, but they're in the corner. So like you're kind of like, even though you are sitting perpendicular to the court, you're basically turned the whole time.
Oh.
Which, I mean, not that big of a deal. It's they're free tickets. You're not going to complain
Stop
about
bitching
it.
At them.
But I look at the price of them, and I'm like, I'm just shocked at how expensive they are, given how bad the Timberwolves are.
Yeah,
and the fact that there are 41 home games. It's not like football where there are 8 home games in a season. There are 41 of these.
And they're charging an exorbitant amount.
They're $125 each.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Eesh.
And we sit right behind Corey Brewer's girlfriend, though, so that's cool.
That
she has
nice
a huge ass, and you can see half her tits with the things that she's worn the two times that we've gone. So that's
Mandy
cool,
must totally
I guess.
Be into that.
Mandy hates her because she just texts the whole time. She's like she's on her BlackBerry nonstop.
Ugh,
yeah,
brother. No. Well, speaking of athletics and Minnesota sports teams, Jared, I suppose we should probably do the final. Talk about the NFL Football League here on The Scope.
Sorry, guys. I got to go. Pro Bowl's on.
Bear
it's
with
not until like 5 or something, isn't it?
I got to get ready.
Bear with us, remaining Scope listeners. I know that some of you don't like our football talk, but I have to say, after the momentous season the Vikings had and their continuing a curse, if you want to call it that, but their ultimate demise at the NFC Championship game, I suppose it's worth getting into it a little bit.
Before we start, everyone knows that you guys are like football, but that if someone like meets you, they would not instantly think football fan, right?
No, definitely
not.
Is
everyone amazed that once they learn that you like football, and not only like it, but like know like, you know, details?
We know players.
Like that they're like, what? You know these things?
Yeah.
That keeps happening to me, and I'm like, what? I'm a dude. I'm a white dude.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But
okay, it's weird.
It does happen a lot, especially with the type of friends that we might run with. You know, I think that they're surprised.
All right.
You know that we'd be into this and not something else.
So go ahead and commiserate about your terrible team.
Exactly.
Terrible.
Before we start, I want to give a shout out to Dan Taylor, our UK fan, who we have converted into a Minnesota Vikings fan. I'm just amused by the fact that he's a fan, and that usually after games with momentous things happening, I would get a Twitter response from him.
Wow.
So it was...
I wonder if he was as devastated as we were after the game last weekend in which the Minnesota Vikings, if you did not know, Adam, they lost in overtime to the New Orleans Saints. What was the score?
31-28.
31-28.
Yeah. One more thing here on the Dan Taylor thing. Sorry.
Dan Taylor, back to Dan Taylor.
I just want,
say it in a British accent, by
I'm
the
really
way.
Curious how football fandom works in the UK. So, Dan, if you wouldn't mind calling the voicemail line or sending us an email or something, kind of maybe explaining how it is you actually can follow the games.
Do you watch it on TV?
What sort of... Yeah, do you watch it on TV? Are there like local clubs? I know the NFL is trying to make a push into the UK and in Europe in general.
Terrible,
They'll have two games in the 2010 season there. So I'm just really curious how it works, if it's really popular at all there. And, any insight you can give us would be great. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. So back to the Minnesota Vikings. This year they were 12-4, Second ranked team in the NFC. Unusual for this the number one ranked team and the number two ranked team to play against each other, but it happened. Vikings, I would say, probably choked that game away. Beat the Saints handily in almost every facet of the game except turnovers, which ultimately lost them the game. Adam, your take?
I agree. It was 100%. It was one of those where I was watching it, and I'm not a Vikings fan, but I was watching it. And, you know, I was like, I'd be okay if they, you know, I'd feel good for my friends. Like, I know what it's like to lose in the playoffs and just be devastated. And I was like, all my friends are going to be, like, depressed for the next week if they don't win. So I guess I'm okay with, you know, like, I'm not, like, I shouldn't say I guess I'm okay. Like, I almost started to be like, yeah, I hope they win.
Okay.
But I never got emotionally invested.
I'll tell you this. If the Redskins were in the championship game and they were playing a team other than the Vikings, I probably would be cheering for the Redskins just for you. So you're a little bit of a prick.
I am.
Anyway, so you're watching this game. You're thinking as the turnovers are happening, they're done. Right?
No, I'm amazed that they're not done.
Yeah.
And I saw the Saints nearly lose to the Redskins this season.
Sure.
So I never really felt like the Vikings were really going to lose until it went to overtime, and I was like, well, after that, there's just no chance.
Once they lost the coin toss.
And then what was I screaming? I was screaming during the
tails
coin toss.
Tails never fails.
My wife got so angry at me. Shut up. That doesn't know. It's a 50-50 chance, and a local sports prognosticator actually said the same thing as me. Tails never fails. Vikings lose the lead coin flip, Jared. And Saints go marching in.
I can't blame the coin flip. I can't blame overtime. All I can blame is that they gave it away too many times. And despite the defensive efforts to stop them, the Saints, every time the Vikings insisted on giving it away, they couldn't get it done.
It's so easy.
They should have won the game, but yeah, turnovers is the key.
It's easy to blame the refs. It's easy to blame fluke plays. But the reality is that too many things happened to that football team to cause them to lose that game, and they were lucky that it was that close.
Sage Rosenfeld never would have thrown that interception.
I can't even blame Favre for that. Yeah. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible throw at a terrible time, but guess what?
They should have been up by 10 points
it over four times previous to that, which put them in that situation to begin with, so...
Too bad.
They got that terrible 12 men in the huddle call, which screwed up everything.
Which that ultimately, that is the legacy. It's not the Brett Favre pass, his last pass of the season. It was the fact that they had 12 men on the field.
It was a breakdown of coaching at a most crucial moment in the game.
I mean, that is basic fundamental football. Everyone knows that. You have to. And it came out of a timeout, Adam. It wasn't like they were rushing. It came out of a timeout. They had a chance to really figure out their play, and they screwed the pooch, as they say.
All they were going to do was run it and kick the field goal.
Yeah, you run it, you go for a 50-yard field goal, hope you make it, and
then you're in the Super Bowl, and Bryant McKinney doesn't get kicked out of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you're in the Super Bowl. Your top cornerback doesn't get hurt in overtime.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, there's so many things that happened in that game that just hurt the Vikings. And I was going over the Vikings' schedule for next season, or at least some of the teams they're playing.
Redskins.
It's not easy, guys.
No, it's okay. They'll play the Redskins.
They're playing the Redskins on the road.
Schedule doesn't matter.
Playing the Jets on the road. They're playing the Patriots on the road.
Teams change drastically in the offseason. Well, I don't think the schedule
especially this offseason, if they don't get their things in order, by the end of March?
It's the beginning of March. Okay. It's like March 5th or something.
Uncapped year.
Well, yeah, because that's when free agency starts, so they need to know what they could spend.
Yeah. Well, if there's no cap this year, then it'll go kind of insane, and then there'll be a strike or a lockout the next season. But I would like to point out, and you guys maybe not have read about this yet, but to kind of protect the bad teams in the event of an uncapped year, the teams that do well are seriously handicapped about how much they can spend and who or how many people they can sign. So it kind of goes in order of Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl loser, and then conference champion losers. They're all like significantly handicapped in the number of players they can sign. So,
well, terrific.
Yeah. And I mean,
that doesn't matter. Vikings don't have a lot of holes anymore.
No.
It depends on who retires.
Yeah. Let's go around the room. Brett Favre, is he going to come back next year? Adam?
I don't know. We won't know until like after my birthday. So I don't even care.
Jared?
I'm going to say yes.
I feel yes. I feel it's pretty much a lockdown.
I think he's got so much chemistry with this team. It's ridiculous. I mean, unless he just doesn't want to take that beat again, because God, did he get beat up in that game.
I would like to just mention that I called at the very beginning of the season that Adrian Peterson would do nothing the last quarter of the season, and he did
it
again.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
He's done it every season so far.
He won over 100 yards in the NFC game. But he fumbled it three times.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So, how do you do?
If he would have run 20 yards and not fumbled it, I think that I would take that. Take that performance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know what it like. I don't know if they overuse him at the beginning or what, but it's been consistent every single season. Because I remember when the Redskins had to beat the Vikings 3 years ago to get in, and it was like Adrian Peterson's rookie season.
Yeah.
And it was like the next to last game of the season, and he only got like 48 yards. I started kind of paying attention to that every single season. And it's been like that every time.
Well, we'll wonder if he can rectify that next year as well, his fumble-itis tendencies as well. So football season over. We are done talking about football.
You want to do Super Bowl picks? Because it's happening next weekend.
Super Bowl picks? Yeah, well, why not? We'll start with you, Jared. You thought of it. Let's recap Saints versus Colts.
Yep.
Colts possibly could have been an undefeated team this year. They chose not to. Saints kind of petered out towards the end of the season, but had a great showing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Who do you pick to win?
Colts by 14.
Two touchdowns by the Colts. Adam, I'm looking at you because I like to pick last.
Colts as well. If we're going to pick, you know, how much... 14 sounds good. 10. I'll go 10.
And I am going to go along with you guys. I also feel like the Colts should probably win this game, and I'm bidding $1 on the points.
Wow. Okay. You play tough defense against the Saints, you can beat them. That's the answer.
I mean, the reality is either team could win this, but if you're thinking about tendencies and strength of each individual ball club, I think the Colts should probably win this. Peyton Manning goes down in history, securing his spot in the Hall of Fame. Thank you. Football talk is over.
Yeah. I don't like that. I heard him referred to as Hall of Fame quarterback multiple times during that game.
It's like, not yet, guys.
Don't do that till he gets
not yet.
Possible Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, if he knew what was good for him, he'd probably tune in to the episode 83 of The Scope, because we've got a decent show. We're going to be doing bringing back one of our most popular bits. It's the Random Year in Review, where we take a look at a specific year in time, pick out the highs and lows of movies and television.
Television?
Or movies and music.
I didn't pick a show.
I didn't pick a show
Parker
either.
Lewis Can't Lose. Is that out that year?
Probably. I'm picking Growing Pains, the final season with Leonardo DiCaprio. We've got Under the Scope, which is, Adam loves to do this. Let me recap this for the people that don't understand.
Huh?
We go over the best news in the world of nerds and geek culture.
Oh.
We go over...
Hold on.
He's writing this down. News is first, by the way, Jared. News is first in Under the Scope.
Are you sure about that? I mean, it's been a while, Shane. Yes. I'm not sure if we remember.
Then after that, we do a little review section, and we got a new format coming at you this time. And then finally, we wrap it up with Coming Soon. And what we do there is we recap all of the great things that are coming out in the next 2 weeks in the world of media and stuff like that. So we really give our listeners a service.
Mm-hmm.
We give them a service. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
I just want something to acknowledge. So we've got a decent show coming up at 83. Kick out the rust, you know, kick the tires, whatever. Check everything out. Let's get things back on track, Jared, on episode 83 of The Scope.
Hi, I'm John Norton.
I'm Maggie.
I'm Adam Narendo.
And we like to talk on the internet. And for some reason, it seems like there's a lot of you who actually like listening to us do it. But if there's one thing you've told us over these past few years, it's that hearing us only once a week, it just isn't enough. Well, guess what? We've heard your calls... and we're doing something about it. This February, CBS's flagship reality show Survivor celebrates their landmark 20th season by bringing back some of their most famous and infamous players in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. And we thought, why don't we join in on the celebration too? So we've dipped our torches in the flames together to form The Tribe, a Survivor podcast, along with this guy named Paul.
Hi.
We don't know who he is, but he seems to know a lot about Survivor, so we decided to let him stick around.
Each show, we'll be bringing you our thoughts on that week's episode. Who we're loving, who we're hating, basically what we would have done better. All along with our usual witty commentary and some fun surprises thrown in, too.
But you know the best part? We want all of you to be a part of this just as much as we are. And in fact, you can participate in every show, including our very first one.
You can send us an email at survivorpodcast@gmail.com, call our voicemail line at 209-87-TRIBE, that's 209-87-TRIBE, or just visit our website at survivorpodcast.com, where you can find all our contact info as well as links to subscribe to the show for free. This way, as soon as our first episode's up, you'll have it immediately. So check out the site, send us an email, give us a call, and we'll talk to all you guys after the kickoff of Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Ready for the next generation of randomness? It could be more appalling, it could be more incredible, but it's definitely more unpredictable. The Random Year Review. 1990.
We are back. 1990 is the year. And what I like to do when we run this show, Adam, is I like to give a little historical commentary, a little historical wrap-up of what happened to the year 1990. Are you guys ready? Thank God for the internet, by the way.
Wait, can we first say how old we all were?
Oh, yeah. So 1990, Jared, how old were you?
1990.
How old you turned?
How old did you turn?
I would turn 17.
I was 16.
I turned 10.
10. Adam was a 10-year-old boy. A lot of things he's talking about he probably didn't even like in 1990, would be my guess.
Well, one of them I definitely did.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. So the year 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years behind bars. East Germany holds its first free elections, leading to German reunification later in the year. That was a big year, actually, for that. Russia elects Mikhail Gorbachev as its first executive president. Hubble telescope is placed into orbit.
I remember working for Telescope.
Telescope. Remember that that Hubble was like had a bent lens or something, and they spent millions and millions of dollars on it, and then it was broken when they sent it up.
Awesome. But it turned out to be one of the best investments NASA's ever done. It's still going today.
Thank God. Speaking of telescopes, Jim Henson dies, the creator of the Muppets. Microsoft releases Windows 3.0.
How does that have to do with telescopes, Jim Henson? Okay.
I just like to have...
segue?
Yeah, okay. Terrible gotcha, segue. Gotcha. Your favorite President Bush Sr. breaks his no new taxes promise of 1988 and pretty much sealing his fate in the elections.
I'm betting Fox News was all over that.
Of course they were.
They didn't exist.
And Iraq invades Kuwait, leading to the Gulf War in early 1991. So a lot of things happening. Do you have any fond memories back then, Adam, of the year 1990? That strike.
I was probably already scared about my upcoming 3-year away bar mitzvah, because I think right around 1990 would have been fifth grade, and you start Hebrew school in fourth or fifth grade.
Give us a little Hebrew right now.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Nice.
There you go. I'm not going to go any further than that.
He will not go any further.
I don't know. So that was going on. Yeah.
And Jared, did you have your driver's license at that point?
I got mine on my 16th birthday.
Very nice.
Hell yeah, I was cruising around town. It was awesome.
I was not quite cruising, but I was getting ready to. So pretty exciting.
I'd say probably 1990 was in high school, sophomore year.
Sophomore, junior.
I guess, yeah. You know, it was probably a period where I was listening to a lot of music.
Banging a lot of chicks.
No. Sorry. Yeah. I wish that were true.
Ditto.
Sadly, no. But for me, music was a big deal. I was kind of getting out of my hip-hop only phase and starting to kind of discover more alternative bands and really just having a good time. I was working at a movie theater at the time, so I saw a lot of movies.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
I was actually, that was the year. What year did you start working at Toys R Us, Jared?
92, I think.
So, yeah. So you weren't there.
It was January after I graduated.
I was at Toys R Us that summer, and that began
your internship.
My long love affair with action figures. My internship. I made it through the process, and there we go.
What kind of discounts did you get working there on action figures?
None. We got
zero.
No discount.
Not one.
Nope.
On anything?
Nothing.
Nope. They had a discount apparently previous to us joining. But,
and then they had one after we left.
Did they?
But
you guys.
For the 8 years that we were there, there was absolutely no discount.
But think of all the dollars we spent there.
Yeah, those bastards.
Think of how many dollars are on that wall right over there that I spent in Toys R Us.
Those are
all
boxes
of action figures I bought during that period.
Minton box.
So if you want any action figures, just to contact the Scope line, and Jared can certainly hook you up.
I have the entire collection of Cadillacs and dinosaurs if you want it. I'll make you a sweet deal.
I think Adam's eyes just lit up. So music in 1990, this is my take on it. I thought it was a bit of a transitional year for music. Many of the 80s acts still had a big presence in 1990, like Damn Yankees, Madonna, New Kids, Poison Winger, Bon Jovi, Prince, Duran Duran, etc. They all had albums that year. And at the same time, I think it was a kind of an emergence of alternative music. We got a lot of stuff from across the pond, from like the Sundays, Midnight Oil, actually, the other side of the pond. Concrete Blonde, not locally, but to here in the States.
Domestically.
Sonic Youth, Soup Dragons, James.
And this was when, was it 104 locally was the alternative station?
Yep.
Was that rolling at that point?
Yeah, 104 was our local alternative station here. It was pre-Edge.
Yeah, I forget what it was called.
It
was before Rev 105, too. So.
It was. Happy Mondays also were hitting. The Laws, D-Light, Red Hot Chili Peppers were big. B-52s had a big album, Cosmic Thing, in 1989. Also, the New Jack Swing style of music. We know Adam, a big fan of it. Became mainstream, really.
I just threw off my checkered hat, by the way. The audience at home can't see it.
Belle Biv DeVoe, Bobby Brown, and the band So Nice They Named It Three Times, Tony, Tony, Tony. spelled differently each time. Yeah. And then Rap also was around LL Cool J, Digital Underground, 2 Live Crew, and NWA. So, you know, it wasn't quite the grunge. It wasn't quite the mainstreamification of alternative music, but it definitely was there, and also kind of the ending of that '80s sound with hair metal and just that pop sound.
Yeah, that was starting to
fade right there.
89, 88, 89 was really the last big years for the hair bands.
Yeah, I kind of found as I was going through this, and the reason why I was happy to do 1990 is because I thought 1990, prior to doing research, was a terrible year in music. That there would be nothing good, that it would be just the remnants of the late 80s, which overall was, I thought to be pretty putrid. But after doing my research, a lot of good stuff happened
that year.
Yeah,
I would argue
with
that, because the late 80s was, you know, hip-hop was really taking charge, and there were still some good hair bands out there that I liked. So, I don't know, I like the late 80s myself.
Yeah, I guess it's tomato-tomato. But, Jared, it was the year 1990, music. Yeah. You love music. You weren't banging chicks, but you probably had a lot of
You were banging your head.
You're banging your head to this band. Go ahead.
Well, oh, I'm doing music?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for 1990, I...
Thank you for that segue.
I picked one of my favorite hip-hop groups of all time, Public Enemy.
Oh, and I
They released an album called Fear of a Black Planet. It came out in March of 1990, and it was released 2 years after their second album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, which really kind of redefined their sound. Their production team, the Bomb Squad, was pioneering the production of sample-based hip-hop, and they just went crazy on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. And Fear of a Black Planet is kind of the pinnacle of that, of their style of sample-based production.
That's Adam's credo to this day, by the way.
Yes, right. Exactly. The album was released, let's see, in 1989, there was the big hubbub over band member Progressor Soup was at the band. No. Professor Griff had some anti-Semitic remarks, which caused a big flap in the press, and he was actually forced to be dismissed from the group. So there's a lot of media clashes, and there's kind of a bunker mentality to this album, where they kind of the group was under siege, and that really seeped into their writing and in the production of the music. There's even specific references to the progressor guy.
You are really stuck
Professor
on that.
Griff's anti-Semitic comments. I go back and forth whether or not this is my favorite one, or if It Takes a Nation of Millions is my favorite Public Enemy album. I guess it depends on the day or whatever. But this has a lot of great songs on it. Where the hell are my clips? There we go. So. One of the themes to the Public Enemy's work overall, but specifically on this album, is there's a lot of social commentary. They included the song Fight the Power at the end of the album. I don't really count it as being on this album because it was on the Spike Lee's...
Lee joint.
What was the movie called? Do the Right Thing?
Do the Right Thing. Yeah, it sounds right.
It was on that soundtrack first, so it really fits in with the songs on this, but it's kind of just there because... You know, they wanted to get on one of their albums. But one of the early singles from this album is a song in which Hype Man Flavor Flav takes the lead. And it's called 911 is a Joke. And it's about...
Who's this?
Flavor Flav. You may have star of a VH1 series, several of them.
Things worked out well for him, didn't they?
Before he was a VH1 darling.
Oh,
he was
on the Sprint commercial.
VH1 darling. we don't ever want to hear.
He was the hype man for a Public Enemy. And this is 911 and it's a joke. It criticizes the social service 911. And here we go.
And who's telling?
So get the morgue truck and then bomb the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't be betrayed. I know you stumble with no use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Latecomers with the latecomers treasure. That's a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance just to dissect ya. They are the kings cause they swing amputations. Lose your arms, your legs, and them is compilation. I can prove it to you, watch the rotation. Up to a fucking situation. So get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown?
So you can just, listening to the music, you can kind of try to pick out all the different pieces that go into it. A lot of them aren't identifiable just because they chop them up and, sure, and filter them and change the speed a lot of times. So, but it's just, you know, there's a density to it, which is really kind of cool.
So let me ask you this, Jared.
Yeah.
For me, music is always a bit about relatability, and I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why I never gave rap a chance. It didn't speak to me, maybe how it could speak to other people. I couldn't relate to it. How did you relate to this? To this type of music? I mean, it was something that you really got into. What was the hook for you?
Jeez, teacher.
This music specifically or hip-hop in general?
I think you can do either or.
I don't know. I just, it's like a lot of the subject matter that they talk about, yeah, doesn't speak to me. But what I appreciate the ability of an MC to, you know, I like words, and even if I have trouble writing them, I can appreciate it when somebody can put together a good turn of phrase. And yeah, you know, you may argue that hip hop has a lot of poor grammar and a lot of strange word usage, but it still has some poetry to it in the hands of the right people. And that's kind of something I relate to, and just the rhythm in general. I love it. And the technology behind it, for some reason, you know, I like knowing that, you know, early hip hop was all a lot of drum machines and real sparse, and then they started building it up with these samples and stuff like that. I like the progression of it. I don't know, there's a whole lot of layers to it that I like.
All right.
And it's really weird that I would, you know, respond to it, but I don't know.
It did.
I have to credit early Run DMC and Beastie Boys License to Ill to being the kind of my gateway. And from there, you know, I found, you know, LL Cool J and Public Enemy and so on and so forth. A lot of the West Coast artists. I started trailing off in my hip hop listening probably right about this time, maybe 91, and I didn't really listen to anything significantly through that era. You know, occasionally, you know, you'd see a video on Yo MTV Raps that was fun, and I might buy a single, but
OPP,
you know,
so,
me.
And then, you know, it was much more into the 2000s where I started picking up on stuff, you know, and I still don't listen to a lot of it today. You know, I kind of pick up, you know, Eminem and some Jay-Z here and there, and you know,
but you can still respect it for what it is.
I absolutely can, Shane.
You would say he respect it.
That's what I would
say.
You
leave that T off, sir.
So, continuing with Fear of a Black Planet, as like I said, social commentary, big theme in this one. This next song that I want to play a clip from criticizes Hollywood in its portrayal of black characters and treatment of black actors in general. You might know this song from my band. We actually parodied it. Also criticizing Hollywood, but from a different point of view. This is Burn Hollywood Burn.
Mm-hmm. Burn Hollywood Burn, I smell a riot going on. First they're guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV. All this news and views are beneath me. So all I hear about is shots ringing out about gang putting each other's head out. So I'd rather kick some slang out. All right, fellas, let's go hang out. Hollywood or would they not make us all look bad like I know they had? But some things I'll never forget, yeah. So step and fetch this shit. For all the years we looked like clowns, the joke is over, smell the smoke from all around.
That song also features in the second verse and in the dialogue that closes the song, fellow MCs Ice Cube, and I believe he had gone solo from NWA at that point, and Big Daddy Kane.
I didn't know that your version of that song was a parody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Gives it even more perspective now.
There you go. I like that song. One of the things I like about Public Enemy is they did a lot of kind of like up-tempo driving beat type stuff. This is an example of it, which is kind of cool because this is... Sometimes hip hop tends to be a little more slow and groove oriented, which is cool. But sometimes you want to just, you know, some speed going on too.
Hmm. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah,
that was enlightening.
You're welcome.
Can I have two comments,
please?
Have you guys ever seen the movie Fear of a Black Hat?
I think I've saw
it was kind of
part
like,
of it.
Okay,
no.
It was kind of like CB40. If you remember CB40,
maybe I'm thinking even, CB4.
Is that a Chris Rock movie?
Because that was Chris
CB4
Rock.
Was the Chris Rock. One.
Yeah. So this was kind of like that, except it was kind of on. It was almost like a spoof. It was weird. It was like, I think I only remember watching it like on pay per view back when I was 10, because I ordered that. And the other thing that Burn Hollywood Burn is kind of like too bamboozled. Bamboozled kind of more modern version of the song, but the movie, I don't know if you guys ever saw it. It's a Spike Lee movie. It's good.
I've heard of it.
It's good.
Should I have some stats just to close
Please.
Out my segment here? Album debuted on the Billboard 200 charts at number 10.
Nice.
Ranked 21 in Spin's 100 Greatest Albums from 1985 to 2005. Pitchfork named it the 17th best album of the 90s. The album was also ranked number 300 on Rolling Stones magazine's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. So there you go. It's got some clout to go with its social commentary.
And holds up to this day, Jared?
I think so. I mean, I can't say that I listen to it a lot, but I definitely would say it holds up.
All right. Well, 1990, good year for rap. I'll take over the next spot here in our jaunt through the music of 1990. I picked Violator, which is the seventh album by electronic band Depeche Mode. And I picked this album and I picked this band because I kind of feel like Depeche Mode led the way in that transition from alternative to mainstream music, or the transition of alternative music making it into mainstream music. And everyone knows about Violator. It had a huge hit single, Personal Jesus, as well as Enjoy the Silence, both of them top 10 hits that year. Really Depeche Mode known for their big hit in the early mid-80s, People Are People, which, if you listen to that song, doesn't sound tremendously like what they did in Violator or really anything after that. And, you know, they definitely had a following in the mid to late 90s or mid to late 80s with their music, but they never were really mainstream until Personal Jesus hit. And doesn't hurt that Personal Jesus in itself was kind of a controversial name with controversial subject matter. And anytime you bring religion or anything like that into the conversation, people tend to pay attention. Violator sold about 11 million copies, and it's still the band's best-selling album worldwide. Stats, Jared, will hit those. Reached number 17 in the Billboard year-end chart in 1990, and Rolling Stone ranked it 342 on the best albums of all time.
So mine's winning so far.
Of course. let's see here. Personal Jesus was ranked 368 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs of All Times. I picked a couple different songs from this album. I did not pick Personal Jesus because everybody knows that song. My first clip is one of my favorites off the album. It's called World in Your Eyes.
I'm not making fun, but doesn't Personal Jesus sound just like that?
Probably.
In my head, that's like...
Personal Jesus is a little bit slower.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess. I mean, they have a sound. They have an established sound, and we'll hear a little bit more of that sound with our next clip, Policy of Truth.
I think we can safely say that by 1990, the idea of synthetic music creation was here to stay.
It was. I like in that song how he says "never again." I mean, you know, he's foreign. He does that,
or Canadian. I guess that's a foreign language.
Yeah, it is totally. So, personal notes: Depeche Mode, the favorite band of my long-term girlfriend, who I started dating in 1991. I challenge anyone to ever hear me do a review of a Bon Jovi album for my in dedication to my wife. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Wow.
But you know, I actually did not really like Depeche Mode. Even at that time, I was a little bit on the fence. But going back and thinking about it, I really feel like it was a pretty influential album for a transitionary time in music. What else? Saw him in concert. And I have to say that overall, I kind of look at Depeche Mode like I look at Radiohead. Not that I would ever say Depeche Mode is as talented as Radiohead, but I really feel like it's one of those bands that people either love or they absolutely hate. I mean, there's no, you know, they're sort of negative and down and dark, and Radiohead has a little bit of that as well. But I don't know. That's about all I have. Violator, 1990, my pick for one of my favorites of 1990, blah, blah, blah.
I never got into to Depeche Mode that much, but I do like a lot of their singles, and yeah. It's like I recognize the songs you played, but I never bought one of their albums or anything. So,
a lot of their music after that sounds fairly similar. I mean, it's in the ballpark. That's kind of, that's their style. But you know, even as recently as about a year and a half ago, Depeche Mode was getting critical acclaim for a few singles they had off of an album or two. I don't remember.
Like, they're like real. They're like super dancey now, or at least the remixes that.
Yeah,
I mean, they're goth dance, I guess.
Yeah, it's you know, it appeals to a certain genre of people. What do you want?
I'll admit, during that period, I was going through a phase of just absolutely hating anything that sounded as if it were purely keyboardy.
Yeah,
you know, and purely synthetic. So I'm sure I didn't give Depeche Mode any time of day at that. If it didn't have any real instruments or wasn't, you know, sample based or anything like that, I was like, forget it.
Jared,
it's not worth my time.
Well, let's find out what was worth Adam's time in 1990.
I'm reviewing Cynthia Sintherston and her synth.
Produced by the Bomb Squad.
Okay, so you.
Progresso Soup.
We started this off with Shane saying that initially he thought 1990 was a terrible year for music, but then after looking into it more, mm-hmm. it turned out not to be the case.
I would see Hammer.
Yes, okay. I would like to just mention some of the biggest hits of that year.
Yep.
To actually reinforce that, yes, your initial thought was correct.
I do have the top five singles. If okay. you don't have those, I didn't read those.
I just had four that kind of appealed to me. So, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em mm-hmm. by MC Hammer. Now, it would be an even worse year if. Oh, I mean, I did at the time, but like I went back and I listened to the stuff I could stream, and I was just like, this is. It's not even like funny good or funny bad. It was just like annoying to me for some reason. Except you've got to pray because you do.
You've got to pray just to make it today.
Can you imagine how bad the year would have been if the movie Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em came out? It came out in 91. So at least there was a year that you had to.
You could catch your breath.
Right.
I skipped that.
To the Extreme, Vanilla Ice's
Rocks a Mic Like a Candle.
Main album came out that year mm-hmm. as well. That was followed
Wrecks a Mic Like a Vandal
2 years later by Vanilla Ice's movie. I can't remember the name, where he rides a motorcycle.
Thank you.
Cool as Ice.
Cool as Ice. That is it.
Jared knows it all.
I remember that it was in theaters 1 week and on video the next. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Also, and I mean, I liked all these albums that year. Gonna Make You Sweat by CNC Music Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, those are huge that year. Also, Andrew Ridgely's debut solo album came out in 1990.
I remember that.
So, the other member.
The other Wham.
Of Wham.
So, here's the top five singles of the year, guys. Okay. I didn't go over this in our intro, but number one, which I thought was an 80s song, but I stand corrected, was Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
I remember that one.
Two is a Madonna's super big hit, Vogue, from the music inspired by the movie Dick Tracy, which seems to be an odd thing.
What a weird film.
I know. Ice Ice Baby mentioned the aforementioned Vanilla Ice.
I saw him live.
And speaking of...
At the Orpheum Theater.
Wow. That might be a whole Scope show right there.
Was it at the Orpheum? I don't know. Yeah, I did see him live. And Hammer live, too.
You Can't Touch This.
Mm-hmm. Saw
the fourth biggest single of the year. And I know, I think Adam's covering this band. His selection would be It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
All right, so here we go. As I was going through my list trying to figure out what to
Jared loves them.
Okay, 1990 was a terrible year.
Yes, see? So, and you know what's funny about that when you listen to
those, mainstream popular music, there were still good stuff.
Yeah,
though.
And like, I'd like to look at the top five singles for every year just to look, because it's like when you think of those, it's like, well, I guess, you know, and people in their 30s were the ones in charge of picking what's popular. And it's probably how it is every year, but it was still annoying. White people in their 30s, I should say.
1984 and 85, pretty good. I stand by that. But
all right. So I was going through a list trying to pick out albums I had in iTunes that I had tagged the year on and trying to find. And I only had like two from 1990.
Well, you're 10. Do they have some sort of Sesame Street album back then?
It's hard. Actually, The Simpsons' first album came out in 1990 also.
Oh, yes.
By the way, The Simpsons came out in 1990. Yep. How amazing is it that the first year that they had a show, they were already coming out with their own album of, it was like Christmas songs.
It was huge.
Anyway, so I had two albums I was debating.
Two?
Between. Yeah. Flood by the Giants. And
I considered that briefly.
Yeah. What I went with was Bossa Nova by the Pixies. So Bossa Nova is the third album by the Pixies, the second major label album. So it followed Doolittle, and it was followed by only one other album by the Pixies, Trompe Le Monde, in 1991. So very short-lived. This is a band that I didn't really like at the time. In fact, I'm pretty sure I only saw one video by the Pixies ever, and that was a song off of Trompe Le Monde a few years later. And they became big kind of because of Nirvana, I think, in the end. But going back and listening to it, I definitely have a strong appreciation for what they did. Mine's going to be much shorter because this is kind of a weird transitionary album. A lot of people will kind of look at it as the album that Frank Black or Black Francis
or whatever he's being called,
right, took over all creative direction of the band. So this was the album that it happened on. And a lot of people don't like the whole weird sci-fi thing that the band turned off into. I do, but I like it much more on the following album, which is just above and beyond. Everything is sci-fi and space related. It's weird kind of what they progressed from, like an album all about the devil and incest on Doolittle, and transition a couple years later into an album about
Mr. Roboto.
Yeah. But so there's a bunch of songs I like on it. Dig for Fire had a video, and that was a good one. But I'm going to go with and then Valoria is another good song. And Weezer actually has a pretty decent cover of it. There was an album a couple years ago on just about Pixie cover bands and or cover songs. But I picked Allison. It's just like overall really good song that I like. So here's a clip. So it's very, surfy, and as most Pixies albums were, but also kind of a weird, over-the-top sci-fi aesthetic to it. That's it.
So
it didn't do very well, just like every other Pixies album, if we're going to go with stats. One of the
no six, stats.
Yeah, it got to the top, it got to this third spot in the UK top albums charts, but that was it.
There we have it. Music scene perfectly covered. Note for note, 1990 behind us.
I think we covered a lot of genres, which
we really
is good.
Did. We actually sounded like, well, the two of you sounded like you knew what you're talking about.
High fives all around.
Virtual high five. So let's move into the motion picture aspect of 1990. Now, doing research for this, I didn't feel like it was a real strong year for movies. I'm going to be honest with you. You may disagree with me, but let's just go over the...
My pick would not be considered a strong contender, so we'll find out, I guess.
So Home Alone was the top grossing movie, followed by Ghost, Dances with Wolves, Pretty Woman, and the surprise hit, and it was a surprise hit, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Dances with Wolves.
I love that movie.
Dances with Wolves was the best picture Oscar winner, and Kevin Costner took home the statue for best director.
Still never seen it.
For that film. Other Oscar winners for that year included Kathy Bates for Misery, Joe Pesci for Goodfellas, Jeremy Irons for Reversal of Fortunes, and Whoopi Goldberg for Ghost.
Isn't it amazing that Kevin Costner lived off of that for 25 years or 15 years?
Has he done any other movie?
But like he got to do Waterworld because of that. Yeah. The Postman because of that.
Pretty much fueled the second phase of his career. Yeah. I mean, it gave him the ability to go out and basically write his own ticket.
He did. He wrote it. Whoopi Goldberg winning for Ghost, some say, as payback for not winning the Oscar for The Color Purple a few years prior to that. Technical achievements for that year. This is off of Wikipedia, so I don't know how true it is. CGI technique is expanded with motion capture for CGI characters used in Total Recall. The first digitally manipulated matte painting is used in the film Die Hard 2.
Yep.
And the use of real-time computer graphics or digital puppetry to create a character in a motion picture is performed in the sequel to RoboCop, aptly named RoboCop 2.
Oh, I had no idea.
Other films for that year included Back to the Future 3, the trilogy is complete, mm-hmm. Bonfire of the Vanities, giant colossal failure, Arachnophobia, if you're scared of spiders.
I remember watching that one late night at the movie theater with a bottle of vodka and fruit punch mix. That's awesome.
John Goodman plays big fat spider exterminator. Darkman, that would be cult classic. Dick Tracy, End of the Innocents, if you want classy.
Saw that from the projection booth because I couldn't get into the screening.
Flatliners, La Femme Nikita, Godfather 3 made an appearance in 1990.
It was a year of terrible, terrible sequels or triquels.
Yeah. Rocky 5 as well, speaking of that. Young Guns 2.
It's a triquel.
the frightening Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, Mermaids, and Jared's favorite movie ever, Quigley Down Under.
Yep.
And Adam's favorite movie ever.
I love my Tom Selleck.
DuckTales the movie.
It was actually
DuckTales the movie was good.
That was a good animated movie.
We actually went to, we took like a when I was working at the theater in this time, and we could get you know, in to see movies at our other theaters in our chain.
Yeah.
And we actually took a theater field trip to go see DuckTales.
Very nice. Yes. Theater field trip.
So at a different theater because we never got it at ours.
DuckTales. Woo.
There we go. I'm starting it off. Followed by Adam, and then Jared will wrap this up. My selection is Edward Scissorhands. If you listen carefully, you can hear him.
Oops. Wrong one.
He does not like it. As I say, if you listen carefully, you can hear sometimes Scope guests John and Earl screaming angrily because they hate Tim Burton. And I'm not sure what they think of Johnny Depp either, but
Do they hate all Tim Burton?
I don't know. But maybe at this point they do. Edward Scissorhands tells the story of an artificial man named Edward, an unfinished creation with scissors for hands. Edward is taken in by a suburban family and falls in love with their teenage daughter, Kim. Other people acting in this film include Winona Ryder, Diane Wiest, Anthony Michael Hall, fresh off of 16 Candles.
Sure.
Kathy Baker.
Actually, it was his first role in a couple years.
I was being sarcastic.
He was like all grown up.
Yeah, he was like a muscle man steroid user at that point. It was really strange. Alan Arkin and Vincent Price's last on-screen role. He played Edward Scissorhands, mad scientist creator. Tim Burton conceived the idea of Edward Scissorhands from his childhood upbringing in suburban Burbank, California. Everything seems to come from his childhood, whether he lived in California or in Minnesota. I'm thinking of the Coen brothers. Sorry. During pre-production of Beetlejuice, Caroline Thompson was hired to adapt his story into a screenplay, and the film was developed at 20th Century Fox. Let's see. People actually offered the role for Edward Scissorhands included Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Robert Downey Jr., and William Hurt.
William Hurt.
All would have been terrible.
I know. The role of the inventor was specifically written for Vincent Price. Trivia for the movie, because people love trivia. Burton acknowledged the main themes of Edward Scissorhands dealt with self-discovery and isolation, just like every single one of his films. Vincent Price's last screen appearance, of course, in his last moment ever filmed, or ever on screen, was a death scene, scarily enough. Johnny Depp had to lose 25 pounds for the role of Edward Scissorhands. And Danny Elfman says this, of all the films he's composed music for, this was his favorite.
He says that about everyone.
He does. Tim Burton also asked Robert Smith of The Cure to do the soundtrack for this film, which makes sense because Edward Scissorhands looks frighteningly like him, except Robert Smith doesn't have scissors for hands.
That we know of.
But he was too busy to do that, and so the job was passed on to Danny Elfman. I've got one clip here. Jared, nice enough to trim it up for me because my new computer makes it difficult to edit clips for some strange reason. We're going to go over that later. Offline, as they say. But
outside the box.
The clip is of Peg, played by Diane Wiest, the Avon sales lady. She drops by the strange castle on the hill on the outskirts of town where she meets Edward, who might just need a little help from her.
Hello? Hello? Why are you hiding back there? You don't have to hide from me. I'm Peg Boggs. I'm your local Avon representative, and I'm as harmless as cherry pie. Oh, my. I can see that I've disturbed you. How stupid of me. I'll just be going now.
Don't go.
That's where I'd be running. Scissorhands.
What?
That's it.
No.
Nope, there's more.
I know it's
always more.
Thank you, Tom.
To you.
He wanted that role.
I'm not finished.
Oh! Put those down. Don't come any closer. Just please. are your hands. Those are your hands. What happened to you? Where are your parents?
He's cutting snowflakes.
Your mother?
Talking a lisp.
Your father?
He didn't wake up.
I think we might have a multimedia project, Jared. What happens if Tom Cruise gets the role for Edward Scissorhands?
Oh, yeah. You're glib.
He would wear sunglasses all the time.
We just need some scissor sound effects, Jared. Make a note of that, and then we'll put that together for the next show. Edward Scissorhands, in my opinion, arguably Tim Burton's best movie, although Ed Wood is awfully, awfully good.
True.
I don't know if you guys have any opinions on that, but...
I've only seen Edward Scissorhands one time, and for some reason, my brain just can't handle the concept of why someone would choose to give their creation scissors for hands.
Well, he was incomplete. He just couldn't get to that point.
I know, but
that's
it's
all
like,
he had on him.
Why would
the intermediary step be scissors?
I don't get it.
Because they kind of look like fingers.
I guess.
I don't know. I think this movie kind of perfectly represents who Tim Burton is as a filmmaker. I mean, it's his weird sensibility. I mean... The guy, Edward Scissorhands, kind of looks like him, kind of looks like Robert Smith of The Cure. I mean, it's just sort of a weird thing. Like, everything comes together in this film. I mean, if this is the ultimate Tim Burton film, and I really am impressed by that. I'm impressed that someone could actually get their vision on screen and have it turn out to be a pretty interesting piece of filmmaking.
Where does this fit into Tim Burton's catalog? Like, what came previous to this that allowed him to get something as offbeat as this made?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, is that it, though?
I think that might be it.
It's kind of surprising that he would have...
There must have been something in between, because that was 87, right?
So well, he was 90. Doing Batman. I guess that Batman came out
in 89.
Oh, that was 89.
Okay,
so,
there you go. Batman was a big enough hit that it allowed Tim Burton to do whatever the hell he wanted.
Tim Burton, pretty aggressive filmmaker. I mean, he had Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Batman 2. But I love this movie. I think it's interesting, and I think pretty well acted overall. So that's what I got to say about that. Adam,
right, and the scope score. Oh,
Adam, you got a film.
I do. I wouldn't call it a film so much as just a movie. I
of course
picked,
you wouldn't.
It's a talkie.
I picked Kindergarten Cop, which is kind of a random one. But
just random.
If you look at the cultural impact of this movie, it's actually relatively substantial,
sure,
which is scary.
I'm Tom Kimble.
Yes.
There we go.
So you can play those throughout this if you want. So I sent.
Detective Tom Kimble.
So here's the sound. One of the soundboards. Anyone that listens to Stern has heard the crank calls.
I don't play that game.
It's hard to know which ones are just Kindergarten Cop and which ones are
totally. It doesn't matter.
All right. So just some facts about everyone.
You.
Everyone remembers the movie, I would
Fuck
assume.
You.
I've never seen it, by the way.
Really?
Never seen it.
Okay.
Seen
you asshole.
Sorry, Arnold. I just didn't get to it.
So Mandy and I started.
Arnold's our fourth guest.
We started watching it. It's not on Netflix On Demand, which are instant.
Jared,
so
loving
kind
it.
Of, kind of annoying.
That's why you need sound effects all the time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See?
Yeah.
Arnold, do you like this movie?
Affirmative.
Okay, very good.
Sweet.
Okay. Is it one of your best?
No problemo.
Oh, okay.
Hey, no more questions directed towards Arnold unless I say so. Okay, so it made $91 million.
No deal.
Which I was thinking, I was like, 1990 bucks. Like, how much is that today? I was like, it's probably $500 million. No, it's $148
million.
Oh. So, I mean, it's still more, but that was the number 10 movie of the year.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
So on Wikipedia has the plot, and as you read it, it sounds like two completely different movies. So
yes,
I want to read this.
Go
to
ahead
you.
And read this.
All right. The taciturn, stubborn, autocratic, violent police detective John Kimble has pursued drug dealer Cullen Crisp for years. He finally arrests... By the way, terrible cop if it took him years.
John
right?
Kimble.
He finally arrests Crisp for the murder of an informant who has brought news of his estranged wife's whereabouts, but is unable to convict him due to the refusal of a witness, a girl drug addict named Cindy.
Sounds like
a very
serious
yes,
movie.
To identify the killer.
Red Heat?
After Kimble psychologically humbles Cindy.
What?
Crisp is identified in a police lineup. Kimble, accompanied by Detective Tyson. Detective Phoebe O'Hara, is then ordered to go undercover in Astoria, Oregon, to find Crisp's ex-wife, Rachel, and their son.
You just read like the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Do it now.
After that, then it becomes, now you should play the actual clip.
It's a fun caper.
I'm Tom Kimble.
You want the clip now?
Sure.
Play the clip.
There is no bathroom!
What?
Shut up!
Shut up!
This is just going to be clips of Arnold, who psychologically humbled this witness. He can't stand teaching these kindergartners. By the way, he teaches kindergarten, in case you didn't get that from the title.
This is insane.
How many of you were born in Astoria?
Is that it?
There's like a...
Shut up!
Oh, no. We still got like 20 seconds.
Wow, great clip.
You don't have to play the whole thing. Unless it's...
I like this part.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Stop it! There is no bathroom!
There is no bathroom,
by
the way.
Stop it!
How much about it?
I think a little... The kid. I a little grab you, ass going on there.
Wow. So awesome. This is actually the movie that the Wachowski brothers, they got the idea for The Matrix from this.
Stop shouting!
It started There is no bathroom, and then transitioned to There is no spoon. But you can see where it happened.
Wow.
I had to go a long way to get that one.
Wow. Leno writing your jokes? What's going on? Fuck. Hey, did you hear about that?
Schwarzenegger was paid $12 million for his role.
Affirmative.
Is that enough, Arnold?
Who are you?
I'm a host of The Scope Show.
Sorry.
Okay.
Good for you.
But Shane, you should probably go see it.
It's enough.
Okay. It's enough, he says. He's tired of you talking about. Okay, Jared, that means we've got to transition to your movie. What did you select?
I picked...
Arnold Schwarzenegger sticks around through Under the Scope, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you that.
I think so.
We're on fire.
I picked, I guess, somewhat of a small film, but a film that really struck a chord with me. I picked Pump Up the Volume.
Oh.
It's a film that stars what I would say is probably Christian Slater's best film. I know. He's done some other good
better
stuff.
Better than Heathers?
He loved Hard Rain. I think, for me, better than Heathers, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Heathers, more of a starring vehicle for
definitely,
him.
Definitely, definitely. And I don't know that he did anything since that is as good, in my opinion. So, a quick plot summary. We've got Mark Hunter, played by Christian Slater. He's a high school student in a sleepy Arizona suburb. He starts a pirate FM radio station that broadcasts from his bedroom transmitter in the basement of his parents' house. Mark is a loner, an outsider, whose only outlet for his teenage angst and aggression is in his unauthorized radio station.
Oh.
By day, Mark is seen as a loner, hardly talking to anyone around him. By night, he expresses his outsider views about what is wrong with American society.
An extrovert.
He's like us.
Mm-hmm. He's exactly like
exactly.
us. We are living Pump Up the Volume.
Yes. Well, I mean, this film came out when I was kind of really fascinated with the idea of radio and how it worked and how people could talk.
In black culture.
I don't know. And I would do like you know, fake radio stuff at home. Just and record it.
Oh God, I wish we had those.
I know. Here. I wish. I
mean, what is wrong with this? Why are we not playing those all the time?
I don't know where they are. So anyway, this first clip,
as he winks it.
This first clip is from early in the film, and Hard Harry, as he's known, or Happy Harry
to have
Hard
the same
on.
Nickname as him, Adam.
he's reading letters and responding to them on his show. Here we go.
Play it.
I'm getting a lot of letters here, guys. Weird. Dear Hard Harry.
What is he on the moon?
Won't talk to me.
It's background music.
Oh, I show him that I really love.
Hey, he uses a harmonizer to disguise his voice.
Like, I don't know anything
there
about
no
these
music,
letters asking
like
for love advice. I mean, if I knew anything about love, I would be out there making it instead of sitting in here talking to you guys. Dear Harry, I think you're boring and obnoxious and have a high opinion of yourself. Of course, some of you are probably thinking I sent this one to myself.
I think school is okay if you just look at it right.
I mean, I like your music, but I really just don't see why you can't be cheerful for one second.
I'll tell you since you asked. I
just arrived in this stupid suburb. I have no friends,
no money, no car,
no license. And even if I did have a license, all I could do is drive out to some stupid mall. Maybe if I'm lucky, play some fucking video games, smoke a joint, and get stupid.
Stop whining!
Nothing to do anymore. Everything decent has been done. All the great
themes have been used up, turned into theme parks.
So I don't
really find it exactly cheerful to be living in the middle of a totally, like, exhausted decade where there's nothing to look forward to and no one to look up to.
Oh.
That was deep.
And that's all he had to do.
And he's saddled with an unfortunate voice that's so similar to Jack Nicholson that it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I just liked the way he spoke in this film. It was great. You know, and that line about all the great themes have been used and turned into theme parks, I just thought
poetry.
He's speaking
poetry, awesome. Jared.
Yes. Anyway, so when he speaks his mind about what is going on at his school and in the community, more and more of his fellow students tune in to hear his show. Nobody knows the true identity of Hard Harry, as Mark refers to himself, until Nora, played by Samantha Mathis. For some reason, I thought she was hot at that point. I don't know what.
What got into you?
Maybe because she gets topless in the film.
Well, that doesn't
matter. Maybe.
A fellow student, she tracks him down. The radio show becomes increasingly popular and influential. One student, an overachiever, jams her various medals and accolades into a microwave, which explodes, injuring her. The second clip is at a meeting that the school has scheduled.
A hastily announced
for
meeting.
For parents to come in, and they're going to address this whole situation about the radio.
The hard, hairy
seems
meeting.
Reasonable.
And what he's been doing to the community.
Oh, my goodness.
Before I introduce the rest of our speakers for this evening.
Excuse me, Mrs. Crestwood. Can we just skip the preliminaries and find out what you're doing about all this?
Well, when I introduce
the school's
Mr.
job,
Deaver,
by the way, guys.
He'll talk about our new 24-hour hotline, and he'll also...
A hard-hairy hotline.
Kids who need the most help, like the ones with drug problems, they don't go in for stuff like that.
I know kids. I mean, they just want to be
happy. Lack discipline.
Would you please sit down?
Frankly, this radio person is the whole problem. Are we going to allow this guy to be heard by anyone who can turn a dial?
Please, one at a time.
I work with teenage gangs in the city, and I say we go after this guy.
Let's get him.
Please, we can't have this kind of meeting. This is not the way I want.
What is she like at a football field somewhere?
I know what I'm doing.
Hello.
She's at a podium. So now this is
Hard Harry.
It's Paige Woodward, and I have something to say to you.
Paige Woodward.
Oh. Was she topless?
People are saying that Harry is introducing bad things and encouraging bad things. Well, it seems to me that these things were already here.
Please go and sit.
Oh. My God, why don't you people listen? He's trying to tell you that there's something wrong with this school.
Just go and
half the people.
What are you saying?
On a
none of this makes any
kind.
Sense.
Paige,
we're all
what's the word
really
on the street?
Scared to be who we really are. I am not perfect. I've just been going through the motions of being perfect, and inside I am screaming.
Paige.
Sorry, that clip is a little long, but it kind of encapsulates what the core conflict in the film is, so I felt it was justified.
What I liked about that movie was that when he was talking on the microphone, he had like this wireless mic, and he was walking all over the place in his house, and it seemed like, how would a kid like get that kind of stuff to be able to do that?
I know. And he explains that he has maybe this wouldn't make sense technologically speaking, but he does explain that he has a shortwave radio that his dad got him so he could talk to his friends back home, but he could never reach him, so he decided to turn it into an FM transmitter.
Listening for
Amelia
Earhart.
I don't know if that works, because I think that's like different.
Does the FCC ever get involved in this?
Yes, the FCC does get involved. At some point, they call them in.
Shut them down.
Actually, here we go. Eventually, the radio show causes so much trouble in the community that the FCC is called in to investigate. And I won't give out too much more of the plot in case you haven't seen it, but, you know.
Just say it ends with him having the nickname Baba Booey.
Not quite.
Oh, darn.
Fa-fla fo-hi.
So the film didn't do that well. It grossed $1.6 million in its opening weekend, and it only went on to make $11.5 million. But the film did get good reviews, and it currently has an 83% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it had a great afterlife on VHS.
Yes.
And cable.
And DVD. And
what about Laserdisc?
Of course.
Probably.
Sweet.
Jared, do you own this movie on DVD?
That's where I got the clips, Shane.
Very nice.
So
I may try to see if this is on Instant Watch.
For me, another component of this that for the film that really kind of worked with me was the soundtrack. I had a lot of great songs in the movie by bands I'd never heard of before. And a lot of them made it onto the CD soundtrack. This was like my first exposure to the Pixies. They have Wave of Mutilation, the UK Surf version is in there. My first exposure to Leonard Cohen, his Everybody Knows is the first song that it kind of opens the film. And actually they have both his version and the Concrete Blonde version, which is on the soundtrack. But both versions are in the film. And I don't know, just a whole bunch of Soundgarden's on here, Bad Brains, just a bunch of cool bands that I'd never... Maybe I knew about them, but hadn't heard them, or bands I'd never heard of before that were on there. And it was a soundtrack I listened to an awful lot.
Very nice. There you go. What a selection.
I like it.
What a selection, people. 1990, perfectly summarized by your three Scope hosts. Very, very impressive. Random year in review. Successful. Mission accomplished. So guess what? We got a lot more show coming up.
But We've already got a lot of show in the can.
I know. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a minute with more of your favorite podcast, The Scope.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! I just talked about the soundtrack to pump up the volume, so why not play a song off of it? This is a song called Freedom of Speech by a band Above the Law. There are some swears, so hide the children.
Yo, what's happening, man?
Yo, they trying to come down on the ATL when we speak. They say we on the negative tip. What's up?
Now I'ma kick away our style that's smoother than usual. It's from above the law, so see it's crucial. Hype beats are kicking and ripping yo with a funky touch. It's done a ruthless way, so see it's too much. D-O-P-E, please don't misdefine it. That's the way that I live and that's the style of my rhyme. That's on time, just like your watch keeps sticking.
KMG,
on my side so that my knowledge keeps sticking. Now what's really known as a radio cut when you can't say
shit
and you can't say
fuck?
I really think you wanna hear it, but the radio stations, see, they're still gonna fear it. Yo, I thought this country was based upon freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of your own religion to make your own decision. That's baloney, cause if I gotta play by your rules, I'm being phony. Yo, I got the cater to this person and that person. I got the rhyme for the white or the black person. Why can't it all be equal? Music is a universal language for all people. I better get off the rebellious tip before somebody out there say I'm starting to slip. I ain't tripping, I'm steadily flowing and throwing, giving you a dope style, keeping me on top of the pile. Cause ATL will soon take over the nation. And if you don't wanna hear us, we'll change the station. But we'll sneak in your mind, sneak in your mind, creeping behind so fast that you won't have time to deny a brother that's from the streets, trying to teach, hoping to reach. Yo, 187's not one that's known to preach, but I'll risk for each to have freedom of speech.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press.
They'll milk you to make it understood. They make it go so that it tastes real good. Two, to see you fall right in it. Your mind's small. They feed you like infants, like children. They bring you along. They say we're wrong for making a rap song, but ATL, I hit you straight up jam after jam. Long as we say what we want, make our stance, we don't give a damn. Those that wanna sell out need to get the fuck out the business, cause they ain't doing nothing but bluffing. Me, I get wild every rhyme I release, whether I talk about violence or talk about peace. Cause violence is something that happens in society when people are living low and don't know where they can go. But peace, I think we all want peace, but it's too much to face and it's too far to reach. Whether I say my rhyme fast, slow, sloppy, or neat, see, I wish when I do it to have freedom of speech.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press.
Now if they ban me, I don't give a fuck. Chalk it up an experience.
Yeah, bad luck.
Because I'm ballin' with Laylaw's clout, and if he say that it stays, the shit comes out. Cause in the early days when rap first began, some fool jumped up and said the tune went in. But nowadays, I hear song after song, and it proved to me that the fool was wrong. So yo, put the bullshit all set aside. It's time for the people to realize about the things that happen in the ghetto, which those try to hide when they know we just strive to survive.
The homie said he have a job if you give him a break,
but when he gets it,
he goes by the other man's ways.
Now see, that's just one more thing I have to talk about. But how they say rap music is turned against out. You never give your child credit for what he can do, plus the way that the raves are really up to you. Rap music, a form of literature, words and verbs and adjectives painted up like a picture. Yo, it's gonna hit you. Yo, it's gonna get you. And when I'm all finished up, it's gonna fit you.
Hitting the nation,
station to station,
heavy rotation,
so strong that it's keeping the pace. And we will speak out on any situation, but when we do it, yo, we gotta have freedom.
See, that's how we had to do that. Yo, I gotta give it up to all my homeboys that got freedom of speech. Yo, Cole 187, Ice Cube, MC Ren, the Deadly Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, the G-O-M-A-C-K, Toe Chaos, House and Things, Rufus in the motherfucking house. Yo, to my homie D-O-C, and Laylaw with the clout. And we out, 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 and we out.
Now, back to Shane and who are those other guys?
Under the scope.
Those other guys would be Jared and Alan. We've got
Alan.
Alan.
Who's Alan?
Wow.
Oh, is that not it?
It's not Alan.
We've got Under the Scope here, and everyone knows.
I'm out of here. No, come back, Alan.
Uh-oh, don't touch that microphone. It's going to hum. Under the Scope, three parts. First part
it's
is...
It's humming. I'll fix it. Well,
okay, go ahead. Three parts.
Yeah.
First part, news.
Yeah.
Alan's so upset that he's breaking his equipment. Wow, that was... Look at that touch. It's like the Magic Man.
Wow.
Wait, so reviews?
We know what you love to do.
I hate my
Scour
life.
The internet.
All right.
This is where we read the Punt House forum letters, mm-hmm. right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting in.
I have a lot of different news stories, and I think what we found worked pretty well is just to like go ahead, do a headline, and then like maybe we want to talk about it, maybe we don't. So
who are you?
So,
yeah, who are you?
Alan.
Reading this?
My name's Alan. Alan, the news guy.
Alan, the news guy.
With a hand.
So last week there was the biggest announcement probably in you know a thing that we would care about would be Apple finally came out.
Oh yes, we got to talk about this.
Yes, they're
outrageous.
The iPad.
I will repeal it.
The iPad, and the reaction in general seems to be relatively negative, like
subdued.
Yes.
I don't think people know necessarily how it fits into their life yet.
That's exactly it.
You know, like they said, they're like kind of almost creating a new market segment.
Well, most people's criticism is, oh, it's just a big iPhone, or oh, it's really not a great laptop.
Right.
Which is exactly right because it's in between. Yeah. So it's just a matter of.
I mean, when the iPod came out, did everyone in the world think that, you know, everyone would have one of those things?
Right.
Probably
not. No, immediately Slashdot said it's dumb, overpriced, and useless.
Yeah. Because there's one more question.
One more.
What's the matter?
What does it matter with
What's
Steve
the matter does? With it? So, yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? Are you gear enough to get one in March?
Life lesson number one when it comes to Apple products, you never buy the first version of any Apple product. And no, I will not be buying it. I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued by the applications that it can be used for. But I think that I'm one of those type of guys that needs to wait to see how it does start integrating into people's lives, what people use it for. I think that it certainly could change the face of print. I mean, let's be honest about that.
Prints?
Print.
Oh, okay.
Like the print medium. I think that this.
You're thinking
that
as a book reader.
As a book reader.
It's killer.
I think that could change things.
What do you think about a couple years ago when asked about it and Steve Jobs says, no one reads anymore? What do you think about that?
That's not true. They do read.
Well, that's what he said.
Though. I think that he says a lot of things that he doesn't actually believe
okay.
to throw people off the scent, if you will.
I hear you.
Thank you, Arnold. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people not happy about the name of the iPad,
I asked Mandy,
what I thought it was going to be called.
I asked Mandy what she thought about it, and she was like, I don't like the name. And I was like, okay, what do you think about it, you know, it itself? And she was like, I don't know, I saw the name and I moved on. So I was like, oh, all right.
Did she immediately think it's a reference to feminine products?
She thought yes.
Because that's the only thing everyone ever comes
up. That's what my wife says.
And it's like, I don't care.
I got to think that they did.
Like the word pad has existed forever.
So if you get a pad of paper, are you saying that? I guess my question is, do you think that Apple possibly did a lot of testing?
I would assume so.
Marketing?
Touch
marketing.
Your mic.
What's funny, though...
Adam, touch your mic. Alan, touch it. There you go. It's good.
Both iPad and iTablet are like...
Not touch your crotch.
Trademarks.
Rub it gently.
Do I rub? I can't do them both at once. Hold on.
Chew some bubble gum.
Why not?
Yeah, both of them are trademarks of other corporations already. Like, iPad is owned by, I don't know, some company that makes electronics. So they're like... talking about suing and
the iSlate.
I hate the name iSlate. I think it doesn't say anything what it is. Was it a rock?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a countertop material.
Is Laura Ingalls using it back in the day? Who knows? I don't know. I think that the verdict is still out on it, Adam. But
it's weird that they would announce it so far in advance with so many questions seemingly around it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like they have something about it that they weren't ready to show yet.
Yeah.
But why show it then? Why did they decide?
Right.
Why did they decide to have an event? I mean, they announced the event like a week beforehand. So
it's almost like they were expecting another company to have something at CES that they didn't have to kind of be like, oh, but this is what we have. It's even better. Or they're like expecting something at Mobile World Congress next week.
Maybe.
And it also was right around their earnings announcements as well. So, I mean, they usually do things...
The day after their best earnings announcements ever, you mean?
I think, you know, what intrigues me about it is the idea where you can be sitting at your couch and you just have this thing that's about the size of a piece of paper. And you can surf the internet, you can read, you can get everything that you could ask for from the internet, right?
But you can't go to YouPorn.
I know. That's the huge issue, but... I think that type of thing where it allows you that flexibility and freedom is awesome. And I've even heard people talk about how they don't have to get an iPhone now. They can get the wireless for this and then just get a cheap-ass phone, and they can do everything on their iPad. Granted, you have to carry it around with you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that it's I think that the future will clarify the role of the iPad in our
Do you guys think that you're both kind of going light on it because you're both Apple guys?
Like I don't think I'm going light or negative. I don't really know what the future holds. I do know that.
But in this day of instant gratification, we want opinions now.
I think I am
taking a bit of a lighter tone just because this has been a lot of like super negative comments, and I'm like, really, where is this coming from, folks? It's like if you don't like it, don't buy it. Why is there this need for this extended commentary on how bad it is? I don't get it.
People either love to love Apple or they love to hate Apple. That's the reality. And you know, I just think you have to go down the Apple product line, taking the computer out of the equation. But you think about the iPhone, you think about the iPod. I mean, people thought, why does Apple need to make a phone? You know, what's it going to do that's different? And look, it's the number one smartphone in the world. So, I don't know. You know, I think you have to sort of sit back and let the process play itself out.
I think that Apple is a little bit falling a victim to the hype that they necessarily maybe didn't create. I don't know how much of the stuff they leak out and how much if it is just the media that's insanely curious about what Apple's going to do next. Yeah. But, I mean, the hype, the rumors, everything that had... It's been a year that people have been waiting for this to come out.
Maybe even longer than that.
No possible way it would meet any of the speculation that people had about it. I think if this had appeared in a vacuum, people would be like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And I honestly don't see myself getting one because maybe I do. I don't know. It's like from the web part of it, I have a laptop and that's far more functional. If I'm sitting on the couch, I'll just use that. But I really feel like I'm in the market at some point for an e-reader, an e-book, something. You know, and I was looking at the Kindle and the Nook. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I get one of those. Who knows? But now that I see this, it's like this is if I'm going to get a book reader, this is the one I want to get.
And then you can do other things with it as well. Yeah. I mean, that's the pros to it.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, if nothing else, anyone that buys a Kindle DX right now is insane, right? I mean, we can at least agree on that, unless they drop the price in half.
Arnold agrees. Arnold, do you buy a Kindle DX?
I agree with you.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
No problemo.
Okay. No problemo.
No deal.
There we go.
He will not buy it.
No, it is not true.
Okay. Sorry, sir.
How do you guys feel about traveling by bullet train to Chicago?
It's not a tumor.
No, it's a bullet train, Arnold.
Bullet train.
I think that, I don't know.
Well, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Is within it? 15 years.
I call this the danger zone.
The danger zone. That's weird.
I would not ride on a bullet train called the danger zone.
Right. What were they thinking?
I would stay away from it.
Terrible time.
That's the sound that they play every time they start that train up.
It's terrible time.
Here we go. Launch it.
The I don't know if you guys saw the plans for these, but they're finally going to start giving the money out to start developing it.
No, this is the first I've heard of it, actually.
Oh, okay. The
breaking news.
Each
breaking news
region, right. I guess, of the country is going to have kind of a different setup, and then you know, hopefully within like 100 years, maybe they'll all connect. But that right now, the goal is not to connect them; it's to alleviate car and plane travel in regions. So it'll be like a wheel and spoke type deal for the Midwest, where Chicago is the center and
it's a hub, if you will.
Right, a hub, and then branching out as far out as Minneapolis for us, with a stop in Milwaukee and Madison.
Oh, they got a stop in Wisconsin.
Right,
what do they have? Travel time for Minneapolis to Chicago? How long?
110 miles an hour. So you can do the math from that. I don't know what that would be,
but with the stops,
five hours. Well, it's only
four hours.
It's only two stops.
4 hours.
So. Four, five, yeah.
Because
so
if you're driving, driving 60, it's 8 hours. So,
okay. So there you go. So they expect to help with mostly, you know, car and plane travel.
Why take a plane that takes you 45 minutes when you can take the bullet train, which takes you 4 hours?
Well, it's 45 minutes plus an hour before.
I'm not interested in that.
Arnold doesn't care. In the end, if it's cheaper, I bet they would get people to do that.
Okay. But I'm wasting my time.
Because I am flying round trip to Milwaukee for $98 tomorrow, so I don't know if it'll be cheaper. Anyway, it's coming. So
are you spending the night there, by the way?
People yes, one night. So anyone in Milwaukee that wants to hang out, a little play action, let me know.
What next?
What do you want?
What do you want? We want to read the stories, Alan. Right. Read them.
Let's see. You guys know how the autism is not caused by that that vaccine.
No, it's not true.
Unless you're crazy.
Arnold doesn't agree with that.
Well, Arnold,
Jenny McCarthy might disagree
with
you.
So, Andrew Wakefield, the doctor, the one guy who's kind of responsible for this whole vaccine craze of the last 10 years, He's already been discredited, but this the General Medical Council, which registers and regulates doctors in the UK, ruled that Wakefield acted dishonestly and irresponsibly during his research with callous disregard. These are all
fuck you, asshole.
For the children. And he was like, yeah, whatever. They're wrong. There's no research.
I have no respect for those with no respect for logic.
My favorite part of this BBC story I got this from is that there's a kind of a throwaway paragraph that says the panel also criticized Wakefield for failing to disclose that while carrying out the research, he was being paid by lawyers acting for parents who believed their children had been harmed by the MMR vaccine.
Excellent.
It's like,
wow.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. So
happy news, Alan, hitting us. happy news today.
You know, I've been called Alan before a lot of times, and I really dislike it.
Okay, so, well,
do this all day long.
If you stop this,
I think we're really. We need to find an Arnold Schwarzenegger clip that says Alan, and we're in good shape.
Let's see, Mass Effect 2 sold 500,000 copies in the first day,
and they say video games are dead.
I don't.
Who says that?
They're saying they're dead. They're over. They're over.
It's a fad.
People are riding these iPads.
Give me.
So buy.com had a deal where it was $45.
That's not bad.
I bought it that day because it's like 58.
Is that part of the news story? The $45 deal that you got?
It's a little bullet I have right below.
Okay. a bullet.
I posted this on my Facebook, but I just thought it was funny and we needed to talk about it. Dungeons and Dragons was banned at a Wisconsin prison.
Yeah.
Because it promotes gang activity. The whole story was pretty funny. So, like, there's this federal prison in Wisconsin that said, no, you can't play Dungeons and Dragons. And, I mean, that was their excuse.
Yeah.
But then the guy
appealed. I'd make them play Dungeons and Dragons.
The guy appealed to federal court, and the federal court said, no. That's reasonable. And, you know, you're thinking about it, and you're like, well, that's a dumb thing to ban. And then you think about it, and you're like, wait, it's fucking prison.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Maybe you don't get to play your D&D.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You can you imagine if you love D&D and you were in prison? I mean, you get to play D&D for like 8 hours a day.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that would be life.
No D&D. Go back to scrounging for parts for your prison tattoo machine.
Exactly.
Australia,
butt coverings.
Australia this week banned small boobs in porn.
What?
Read that again.
Australia,
yeah.
Any pornography that is sold in or created in Australia no longer can have what are classified as small boobs in them.
Wow.
Because it's
I love Australia already.
It's an effort to get rid of any kiddie porn or pseudo kiddie porn like videos because there's like a whole subset of the industry where it's like girls that look like they're in their younger teens or mid-teens or whatever.
Disgusting.
So there's that going on. So
now we can't make jokes about that, Jared.
Only huge jokes.
Next story. Next story. Quick.
GoldenEye Source is coming out for the PC on February 7th. I don't know if you guys...
So is that like a mod of a level that lets you play GoldenEye?
It's basically Half-Life 2 modded to be the exact
computer.
GoldenEye for the N64. So we all like that a lot.
Sure.
We played it when we were kids.
Past tense, yes.
We liked it.
Yeah. Well, I thought that's kind of funny because I was like, I bet like if people go back and play it now, it's not good at all.
No, it's not.
But we've had this conversation on the radio.
Okay.
We've done it before.
Once you play Medal of Honor or whatever, just Call of Duty, any of those games, Halo, you go back to try the control scheme of GoldenEye, and it's like, what the hell?
You can't even jump in GoldenEye, okay? You can't look and aim independently or move.
No.
You know? Sorry, Arnold. I mean, it's...
Yeah, there was a radar that no one else used. It was the best thing ever.
I used the radar. They would get mad at me because I'd use the radar. Jared would get mad at me. Say, why are you using the radar? So I could shoot you.
Would I get mad at you?
I think you probably did.
I'd get mad at you for other things. I don't know about the radar.
All right.
I don't care about the radar.
I knew I could pull you guys back from the tiny tits and
you did it.
Autism.
Now, what does all that mean?
Finally, summing it all up, the Super Bowl is coming up, guys.
Yeah.
And what's the best thing about Super Bowl Sunday other than football?
It's time now to turn this mush into muscles.
Exactly. Okay, what's the number one thing everyone talks about regarding the Super Bowl? Not the game.
Steroids.
Commercials.
Yes,
packages.
The ads. So ads have been a huge controversy so far.
Oh my goodness.
This year.
People can't get over them.
People can't get over them. So
cat wranglers.
Two things have happened. A gay
this
dating site
right
put in the money and the ad to appear on the Super Bowl, and CBS turned them down.
Huh.
And right. So any guesses on the name of the dating site? Because I almost feel like they were doing this just to see what CBS would do.
Gay date? I don't know.
That's fair. That's like J date.
Sure.
Right, with the Jews.
I don't have no idea. Tell me.
Mancrunch.com.
Mancrunch.com.
Okay.
Didn't they have to buy that from you first?
That is
name?
A hilarious name.
Man.
So apparently that's not okay. But Tim Tebow's anti-abortion ads are perfectly cool to play. So we get to be treated to the whatever. I forget the group that he's working with, but it is a pro-life ad that will be playing.
Affirmative.
With Tim Tebow, yeah. Maybe with him crying, hopefully.
I agree with you.
During the
He'll get low draft pick because of that.
And I'm telling everyone to have unprotected sex during that commercial. That's what I'm saying.
Amen to that.
I can understand his opinion. I mean, he was in a situation where his mom was advised to abort the child, and she decided to keep it, and he's alive because of it, so I can respect his opinion to want to be pro-life.
But okay.
I don't know.
Don't throw it in my face in the Super Bowl. That's what I
We'd
say.
We'd be much better if we were dead.
That's it. News is over. Arnold news Schwarzenegger, over, any final comments on the news?
He'll have comments for the coming soon.
Who are you?
Okay. Yeah, that's the question.
Who is your daddy?
There we go. And what does he do? We're done with that. Let's move on to reviews. No, we've got nothing.
We got to get through this stuff quick.
We've got nothing really structured, so it's a quick pro and con on three particular topics.
Oh, we still have to do that? Shit.
We're going on. Yeah. Let's do. Our first,
it's a long show. We haven't done this in a while.
Our first item up for bid would be Jersey Shore. Pro and con on Jersey Shore. Go ahead, Adam.
Con. Do I have to like name cons?
Give me a pro, give me a con.
Pro, I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's tits somewhere in that show. You probably don't see the whole thing. But
in Australia, you definitely see them because right. They're all big.
Con, I don't know. Everything. I don't like people getting attention that aren't at me. So,
Jared, anything to say about Jersey Shore, pro and con?
I've never watched it.
Pro, you've never seen it.
Pro, I've never seen it. Con, I actually did watch a couple clips online, so I wasted. Yep. I'll never get those 20 minutes back.
Absolutely. Pro, I think it's great that these kids, they went in together and they negotiated a new contract. They're going to get $10,000 an episode for the next season of New Jersey Shore, Jared. So that means they're going to get like $100,000.
I'm just thinking the hair gel companies are happy because that's what they're going to spend it on.
Absolutely.
And hair gel and tanning and
fist pumping like a champ.
Con, not enough tanning going on in this one. Boy, these people are sickening and disgusting. Jersey Shore, watch it if you dare. Review number two, let's do Avatar. Jared, pro and a con on Avatar.
Pro, visual feast, definitely see it in 3D. Con, you've seen this story before, so don't get too wrapped up in the plot.
I agree with you 100%. That's what I would have said. I have a question on this.
Yes.
Is this movie going to win Best Picture?
I thought people were joking with me when they told me it won the Golden Globe. So I can't. It's just Jurassic Park. I mean, essentially. So no. I mean, was there any talk of Jurassic Park winning Best Picture that year?
I don't think so.
Right. So I don't understand why it was nominated. It's not.
I think from a technical standpoint, Adam, you have to give this movie some credit.
I don't have to do anything.
You have to. They got big blue guys. I with think cat it, noses.
Here's my opinion. I don't think it should, but I think it will.
I think the general guy alone should disqualify it from winning any sort of prestigious category.
So you're saying the triteness of the story and of some of the characters should eliminate it from competition?
Yeah. I mean,
the half-dimensional characters?
Yep. Yes. I liked the movie, yep. But like in terms of like putting it up there with, you know, movies that had like actual social impact or like, you know, meant something. That's just Hollywood. Yeah. Never mind.
Gladiator one. Come on.
Anaconda, yeah. If he does win, James Cameron.
Anaconda.
No, and another con. Okay. If Cameron does win, he will give probably a most squirm-inducing speech you've ever heard.
Because
every time he opens his mouth, we should have heard his speech at the Golden Globes. It just makes me uncomfortable. Like, how is this guy loved by Hollywood? He's such an egomaniac.
I don't know that he is loved by Hollywood, but yeah. He has the two top grossing films of all time. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Anything more to say about Avatar?
If there was words to express the Brendan Fraser clap point smile.
That was funny
laugh.
On SNL. They played it.
That'd be enough for me. So.
Finally,
I'm not interested in that.
Arnold, con on Avatar.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
There and go. A pro. Come on, I'm making him work.
Let me talk to your mother.
Okay, there we go. Okay, Jay versus Conan is our last item up for debate. Anything to say about that, Adam?
You asshole.
Whoa, it's stereo.
Wow. No, I mean, everything's already been said, and now the fallout has even started where people are like, all right, it doesn't even matter. Conan, I think, did a pretty good job trying to deflate the attention to it, kind of. You know, Haiti was going on. It happened at the exact same time, and he was like, you know, trying to like raise money for that and deflate it. But then at the same time, he's a talk show host and clearly has a huge ego. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, he got screwed over, but he's going to go away rich and got money for his crew. And so,
I don't know if he really did get screwed over in the sense that I think
in terms of like a lifetime dream of yours, like he did.
NBC screwed it up years ago. And you never get rid of your top rated guy. Right. That's just I hate Jay Leno. I hate everything he does on that show. I don't find him funny. I find him unappealing as a human being. But the reality is he was killing Letterman.
Yeah. If they had let Conan go in 2004, yes. go to ABC instead of Kimmel, then he would have gone on and get the exact same ratings that Kimmel yes. does right now, and nothing would have changed.
Conan is hilarious, but he's a niche player.
Yeah.
He's got his own sensibility, his own sense of humor, and it does not play to everyone in America. That is the reality, and yeah. I love Conan O'Brien, so that's
all
what
you
I
have
think.
To do. Like all you have to do is read, like when you see a news story about this, read the comments on CNN.com compared to like Gawker.
Yeah,
because it's like you read the Gawker ones, and you're like, yeah, these people all agree with me that Jay's not funny, and then you read the CNN ones, no, like everyone's like Conan's not yeah. funny. I don't understand why they got rid of Leno. Like yeah. hundreds of them.
If people didn't think Jay was funny, he wouldn't be number one in the ratings. That's the reality.
Here's the problem with Conan. I like Conan. I think he's funny.
Gingers have no souls.
Like most of America, I watched his last one. That's the only one I yep. watched.
Things change.
I don't know. And you're right. NBC created this situation 5 years ago. When the deadline came up, they should have had the courage to say, you know what? We can't go with what we said.
You got
Conan, yeah. here's some money. Sorry. Yep. We're keeping Jay. Because what they did yeah. was just the worst decision ever. Entertainment Weekly, of course, says so, too.
And they should have told Conan back 5 years ago that, you know what, you do what you have to do. If you want to stick with us.
Why do you make that thing? Why yeah. do you say in 5 years Jay is going to be done and you get the show? Why even bother?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's a stupid thing.
Dumb move. I think the person that came out smelling like roses out of all this was Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had his Jay Leno parody show. He had his appearance on Jay Leno's show where he absolutely butchered him, and it was uncomfortable and brilliant and gutsy. Although I don't know if Kimmel's going to get any more ratings out of it, but it was an impressive comedic feat what he did, and I give him super props.
Well, now there's speculation that maybe Jimmy Fallon is the guy who takes over when Jay leaves for the second time for good.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. You never know. He might have more appeal than Conan.
Maybe.
Like,
but
more
appeal. I still think he seems very uncomfortable, like how long he's been doing this, 7 months or whatever, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're talking, five, yeah. six, 7, 8 years.
I don't need to leave.
Whenever he's going to leave at some point. NBC won't make some stupid deal where they say, okay, so-and-so is going to take over.
Yeah. There we have it.
I don't know. Maybe Letterman retires at some point and somebody goes over there.
Well, Ferguson gets Jonathan that role Stewart. Then.
You think so?
I think Ferguson
Do you think
gets
Ferguson
that.
Would excel in that time slot? No. I don't know.
I think
he's great. I think he delivers
hilarious.
He delivers the best monologue in late night, my opinion.
It would be Jon Stewart because
no, that's true. I guess I always forget the Jon Stewart.
Because Letterman, in his contract, gets to pick the host of that show and the one following for, here on end to eternity. So.
Till he dies.
Yeah.
Till he's done banging.
Well, it's his production company. Yeah, so.
There we go.
It's his show, essentially.
So there we go. Quick, abbreviated version of the review. Review section done. We've
very
got
controversial.
Very controversial. We'll try to bring it back to a normal review on the next show. 84.
Thanks.
Finally, coming soon. We're kind of in the doldrums of media right
Says
now.
Says you.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Oh, you're sorry. Right. I just looked at the list. All right. So, music, February 2nd, or the week of, Jamie Foxx has an
what?
Album. Another one.
Oh, Jamie Foxx, you can't stop him.
He's really trying this thing hard. K.D. Lang, Recollection.
What? Stop whining.
Lifehouse.
What?
Lil Wayne? Young Weezy?
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys have heard this album yet because it leaked months and months ago.
No,
yeah. It is basically Limp Bizkit, but as
Lil Wayne album,
sung by Lil Wayne.
Awful. I heard bits of it on Sound Opinions.
Yeah,
they don't like it, huh?
No, this was terrible.
Yeah, Lil Wayne is crazy.
Crazy. February 9th, Hot Chip has a new album coming out. So if you like dudes that sound like ladies singing to vaguely electronic music.
I don't get the indie love of Hot Chip, by the way.
I like a few of the songs.
I don't think I've heard them.
Massive Attack has a album coming out. And I'm assuming this is Sade.
Is that the sequel to Mass Effect 2?
Yep. Sade.
And Sade.
That's right.
Movies, February 5th, Dear John. That looks boring. Frozen. I don't know what that is.
That's a trauma on a ski hill with snowboarders and stuff. I don't know.
Wait a minute. There's a movie coming out called From Paris with Love.
Yeah, it's got John Travolta with
John Travolta
a weird-ass goatee and
with
bald
a bald head.
Head
and a black goatee.
But it's got Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, and I really like him.
Isn't that the name of the Paris Hilton porn movie? Wasn't that what it was called? No, it's called One Night in Paris.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Which is better, by the way.
The sequel should be From Paris with
Love. From Paris's vagina with love.
from Paris's vagina with various STIs. February 12th, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief.
Advertising this like crazy, like a Harry Potter type thing.
I don't get it, but is this another, this is a popular series of young adult novels,
it is,
correct?
Yes. A kid discovers that he is the son of Poseidon.
But these haven't like crossed over into the to adults like Harry Potter has.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So this is a Jesus story? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know.
You're the son of Poseidon, isn't it? Okay. Valentine's Day, the movie with
18,000 stars.
Yes.
On it. Topher Grace
and the Wolfman. Not plural. Wolfman with what's his name?
Benicio del Toro.
Not really interested.
No, that movie just doesn't look like it does anything for
isn't
me.
Isn't that weird? Like that they would make that movie, and it's who's the guy that directed it? Hellboy guy, right?
Is it did he direct it, really?
Del Toro?
Wow.
No? Am I wrong on that?
Is this correct me if I'm wrong. Is this kind of like Universal trying to reestablish their Wolfman franchise?
Possibly.
I'm not even sure if it's the same people, but
Let's say yes, Jared.
I'm asking if that's the case.
Let's say yes.
Okay.
I have a question. Why is the mummy scary? Not like the mummy, like, you know, as is portrayed as the villain for Brendan Fraser. But
by Edward Vosloo?
Yeah, like the original mummy.
It can't be stopped. It's like a zombie, you know?
Like, you just hold your hand up to it. Like, it can't do anything to you either.
Doesn't something happen if he touches you?
Oh, is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Okay.
You turn it to gold.
Somebody will write in and correct us.
DVD, February 2nd, Amelia. Do we know which Amelia that was? Because there were two Amelias that came out last year.
I'm assuming it's the
Hilary Swank terrible one.
Horse mouth one, yes.
Never saw it.
G.I. Joe, season 1.3. Yeah. Oh, we're getting into decimals, okay? Mr. Ed, season 2.0. Planet Hulk and Zombieland. So I watched Zombieland a couple weekends ago. It is boring.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Boring.
You're the first review I've heard of.
I know.
That film,
I was expecting to be really, really good. And I was just like, And the other weird thing is Mandy will watch the goriest zombie movies ever, but she can't watch anything else. Like, she thinks that Chuck is scary. I swear to God.
The TV show Chuck?
Yes. I don't know.
Boy.
Okay.
That is bizarre.
Is it Adam Baldwin? Does he just scare her? He's kind of gruff sometimes.
There's action. I don't get
She's
it.
Scared but, of action.
But zombies.
Stop whining.
Zombies eating humans. No problem with.
Wow.
Makes no sense.
I think you might want to keep a close eye on her.
Stop whining.
February 9th, Couples Retreat, which we also tried watching, which was boring.
I can do this all day long.
I feel like we have.
The Stepfather, Jag, the final season, video games, week of January 31st, Star Trek Online for the PC, so a new MMO coming out.
There we go, anyway. Just what you need.
Oh, I'm not. I have no interest. But
I doubt that.
Any of you guys are going to buy this? Because right now, before it launches, on Tuesday, if you buy, you can buy a lifetime subscription. $240.
Nope.
So you don't have to pay that monthly fee.
Don't care.
Plus $60. I guess for the game itself.
Only MMO coming out in the near future that I would consider would be the Old Republic.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Mass Effect 2 also came out this week. I mentioned that in the news. Made me play Mass Effect 1. So I like it. And February 7th, Bioshock 2 and Dante's Inferno, which you say just PS3, but it's actually for the Xbox 360 as well.
Oh, it is? I'm sorry.
Because that's big news, because we've not really had a God of War-style game on the Xbox 360, and now with that, we do. I played the demo of that. That is a gory game.
Okay. Bioshock 2, by the way, I can't wait.
I love the first one.
I thought it was great.
Maybe I'll go back and try it again.
Loved it, yeah. Great piece of video gaming. Okay. Everything came together nicely. So there we go, Jared. Under the scope, it's done.
Okay.
Under the scope. What are we at for time? I want to know.
We are at 1 hour, 48 minutes.
Wow. So we're right in the sweet spot.
We'll be done. We'll be less than 2 hours.
Wheelhouse.
Shane, what do we do in this block?
I don't even remember.
I think this is where we have comments.
Okay.
Comments
from... Are people
from,
actually commenting about our stuff?
I went back on some of the old stuff and tried to dig up, but I really only just came up with one that wasn't... Didn't need a whole lot of context.
Okay.
So we'll just go with this. Brad writes in and he says, "You guys do a bang up job on this show.
Thank you.
Without the accolades you deserve, since fans like me and undoubtedly others out there are too lazy to express our appreciation of the entertainment you bring us every fortnight."
Do you believe that they're too lazy?
"Please come back soon because the lazy silent majority misses you."
That's nice.
I think most people, their default state is laziness. So yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. That makes me feel good.
Did I do something to that? Something wrong with
No,
that?
Not at all. I'm just pushing the button.
Shane's just anxious for the show to be over, so he's fidgeting with something.
I'm fidgeting.
I don't know. That's the only comment I had. I was, you know, didn't need the context to explain it.
Yes.
Basically saying how awesome we are and how we're appreciated.
And we're back
Thank
now.
Thank you, Brad.
We're back, Brad.
Hopefully that Fortnite schedule will continue. We'll see.
We'll try.
We all know we tried, and then the furnace broke. You know, who knows what's going to happen next week?
I was really concerned that we wouldn't have a topic for the next show, you know, because it's impossible for me to, like, actually sit down and think about what we're doing for the next stuff because I'm so busy. But I've got the idea.
Okay.
We're going to revisit an old...
Is it an examination of breast size in porn?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Hard to do on a podcast.
Are we just going to sit here and watch porn?
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Alan. Come on.
I'm not even gonna...
It's the only funny thing I've contributed to the show. It's 2 hours. That's the only funny thing.
I'm not going to engage.
If you want to contribute to the show, you can write in. comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line 646-495-9201, extension 70055. Very few people call it. So, honestly, you'll have plenty of space in order to leave your message.
You will not waste one moment from us.
There's no caller ID. Like, you can just call it and, like, leave your most personal confession.
Sure.
It doesn't matter.
We don't know who you are.
We'll play them, but...
But we'll listen to them.
Well, yeah.
You can also become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We are The Scope Show on Twitter.
Yes, indeed. You sound like Barack Obama.
Thank you.
When you read that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's how we did it last night.
Honing
that's
Republicans.
The emphasis was on you. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. I've been checking the iTunes reviews. There have not been any new ones.
Well, I don't blame them. There's not much to listen to.
So, yeah.
The time is now.
There you go. We're always looking for donations. If you want to donate some money to the cause, there's a button on the website at scopeshow.com. Go for it. We got, like, I think $11 last quarter from Amazon affiliates. So we have an Amazon link, like, ad thing on the website.
People are buying
stuff. If you're going to buy through Amazon, come to our site, click through the link, and then we'll get a little... bit of money and it won't cost you anymore, so consider that next time you buy from Amazon.com.
I gotta do that because I do buy from Amazon. Sometimes I forget to go through the scope. I'm doing it.
There you go.
I'm paying myself back. It's like cash rewards.
That's all I got, Shane.
That's all he has. So, everyone, I want to thank my two co-hosts here for showing up. We did a darn good show. I want
to
thank Arnold
Alan and Jerome. We're here to
Alan
help
and Jerome.
You got a cooler name than me.
I want to thank Arnold.
I gotta thank John for giving me that one.
Thank Arnold Schwarzenegger for stopping in.
Wait.
Waiting for it.
No problemo.
I love that we're co-oping an 8-year-old bit.
I know.
By the way, Jared, next to show your your duty is to book Judge Judy.
You know what? We really should have pretended we had never heard of this soundboard before and, like, just spent the whole
show. We're going to do that next time. We're going to pretend like we've never heard of what a soundboard is, and then we're just going to have... soundboard after soundboard show up.
Just have concept shows. Like, we should have done this show as if it were 1990.
I like that idea. It's a lot of work, Alan.
I know.
A lot of work. Okay. So, the thing was, I wasn't even going to call you Alan. I was going to say Adam, and I actually said Alan, Jared. Jared's in a coma right now.
Sorry.
He wants the show to be over. So let's make it over. Episode 84 is behind.
Hold on.
Is coming up.
Damn it. All right. Here we go.
All right. There we go. Episode 83 is done. I want to thank you guys. Thank our listeners. We'll hopefully be back in 2 weeks with more Scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing...
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
ciao!
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
This is my house. As long as you live in my house, I own the air you breathe. You follow my rules. You act respectfully.